Hey guys, we're back. It's the Hunt Experience.
Episode 20. Let's go.
Heck yeah. So what we kind of started talking about is what we've done this week.
Yeah, it's exciting, man. We were talking about, we're a little bit dry right now.
Mm-hmm. It's hot.
But it's about time to stop going to birthday parties, hanging out with your family.
Cut out the social events.
All that stuff. Yeah. And get to planting and thinking about deer stuff.
Staying off the property.
Yeah.
And, you know, no more trail riding. Yeah. Horseback riding.
She's all done.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's Friday, man. I'm jacked. Jacked up. Friday. Good week. I was telling you, I found a new guy named Sam Donald, and I was jamming out to his song on the way here, and it pumped me up. I never heard him before, but it's called "Make You Want God," and I was pumped.
When
I came in here, I was jamming.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, that's my jam.
Heck yeah. Well, my dog was glad to see you when you got
here. Yeah, he was gonna attack me, but he went the wrong way.
Yeah, he took. We let him out. He took off full speed, running 100% the wrong way.
Yeah, that was the wrong direction. I had to correct him and tell him where to come.
Hey, I'm over here.
Yeah, hey, you want to attack somebody? You got to get over this direction. So.
Well, it's been a busy week for us. As we talked about, my son went to work for me.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's been in business 10 years for myself with no employees. So it's an adjustment.
She's a lonely road.
It's a lonely road, but it's really nice to have somebody to talk to. Yeah. So I've kind of enjoyed just him being there with me, and he's in the learning phases of what we do and all that fun stuff. So I'm wore out.
Yeah.
From riding or driving.
Yeah.
You know that feeling? You can take a trip. Jet lag almost.
Flying. Yeah, I was going to say, flying does me the same way.
So, I mean, anyway, good week, and you guys have been busy, as I know.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Your wife plowed into one, and I had like 5 toe-ins.
Yes.
And
deer hits.
I'm always surprised when the receptionist answers the phone. Her opening line is, I hate to say it out loud, but we're
going
to
be,
you know, 9 weeks out or 10 weeks out or whatever, and I'm always surprised, like, okay, we'll get you on schedule.
Well, it's just because you're the best around, man.
We try
to make a living, right? Try to keep everybody happy.
We were talking about the deer hit. Your wife hit one. Well, my wife hit one back in the summertime that was dead down by the chicken houses.
She hit it again.
Yeah, it was already dead.
Make sure.
Already dead. She hit it again. Calls me at work, says, hey, one of my customers said there's something hanging out underneath my car. Well, that's weird. I don't know. Is it driving okay? Yeah, it's fine. It's like, I'll bring it to the house. Let me take a peek at it. I crawled underneath it, and there's like some hide and a leg. And I was like, "That's I'm not doing it.
No,
like,
go.
Leave it outside tonight. Maybe a coyote or a coon will get underneath there and pull it out." And so we just kind of let it like heat up, turn into jerky
awesome.
And all that stuff and get rid of it.
Well, you know, that smelt fantastic on that exhaust. Probably. Ooh, cooked
rough,
it on.
Rough. Speaking of rough. you know, I've been having some problems with my foot and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I had to go up to Bentonville area to a specialist up there. They've been doing all kinds of tests on me and blah, 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 blah. So they decided it could be something to do with my nerves. I don't know if you've ever seen this on YouTube or anything, because I didn't know. I thought I was going for a consultation.
Right.
I get there. He says, take off your shirt, take off your shoes, take off your socks. We're going to do little nerve conduction test here. I'm like, all right, let's do it. I didn't know. I thought we were just here to talk about
Game
it.
Game on. Let's do it.
So he proceeds to tell me, here's this. It's like a little two-prong deal. I'm going to shock you. Your foot's probably going to jump up. And then I'm going to stick this needle, which is like 6 inches long, into your nerves. And it's a microphone. And I can hear your nerves. So
needle.
Mm. I had 10 in the leg, 6 in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a good time.
Yeah, squirting out blood everywhere.
Did you feel like a mental patient from, like, the 60s? Dude, yeah, really shocked you.
I mean, who makes up this technology? Is this real? Like, can you hear my nerves out now?
Sure,
like,
surely we can do it in a better way.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Who makes this up? But he did find a pinched nerve in my back that could be causing the problem. So, well, as you
good.
Know, like I said,
think I find it.
Man. 3 years ago-ish, I was running 5Ks. I went in my age group. I could run about 8 miles nonstop. And this all happened while I had that plantar fasciitis surgery. Mm-hmm. And then got back to running again. And then this started. And nobody can really tell me what's going on with it. So,
Maybe, man, maybe figured it out then.
I'm hoping. That'd be awesome. I don't know what they do after this. I go back up like the 29th, and they're going to do an MRI on my back. And
So you can start marathoning?
Possible
now?
Foot surgery. I don't even really want to do that again. I just want to get back in shape, dude. Like, I've declined so much. So I've started this whole carnivore diet last week. And
Protein man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of doing keto anyway, and now I'm kind of just like, I'm totally cool with just living like a caveman. Doesn't bother me at all.
Meat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just give it to me. I don't care.
Yep.
And I've been doing a little bit of working out, and I've been doing, like, this week I've done, I don't know, probably 15 miles, just a good walk, just trying to. And I've got some special insoles they put me in that seem to be helping, some special cream they put me on. So
sweet, maybe I'll get you figured out, man.
I would like to. I'm tired of being fat.
I really need your help dragging out my deer. I mean, I just want to go ahead and tell you.
Oddly enough, like, I was running after my last half mile I was running. It's like, I really wasn't too winded. Like, I feel like I'm still pretty decent cardio, because I'm always pulling, dragging, hauling.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. I mean, what is it, the country strong stuff or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Well, mess around in the woods long enough. Yeah. What's that called? Yeah, country muscles or something.
Yeah, something like that.
That's called.
Yeah, so.
On that note, Luke, when he went to work for me, started working out with me.
Oh, nice.
Which is, so I gained a workout partner.
Yeah.
Now, we're only 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty intense about my workout.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's really cool. I've got a spotter, and you know, he's trying to jump in there with. That's
makes
cool.
You go a little heavier, and it does. You have somebody, because I was actually it
pushes you.
I mentioned that to you before. I was like, I need to come over and just start working out with you in the morning times. And I got I'll do my stuff in the morning times and get a pretty good sweat going, and I'll go hop in the sauna. Flush it out. So I've been
detox.
If you ever heard about this, if you're kind of like me, you listen to every podcast, it don't matter what it is, finances or working out or health. Cold plunging.
Yes.
You read about it?
Yes. No, I've watched a bunch of videos on it.
Okay.
I can't do it though. I'm a pansy.
All right, Ray. Yeah.
Can you do it?
I think I could, dude, man.
I can't even get in cold lake water.
There's so many benefits to it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, tons. It's like, so.
Is she going to get you an ice bath going?
I'm thinking about pulling trigger on
it. Are you seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think
I'm going to start my day out like that and then do my walk or run. Hopefully run eventually if my foot gets right. And then I'm going to do weight training of the evenings. I think that's what I want to do.
They say that cold plunge is huge, dude.
Well, let's say it's like all the, endorphins?
Yeah, it fires all kinds of stuff,
so,
man.
So you're in like a better mood. It's like you did something good. It teaches you. You can read about it. But I mean, so
it's cool.
I've been, so for like, I don't know, 9 weeks. You know how I am. Once I get like,
I know how you are.
I just want to read all about it, watch the videos and look the benefits. And now I'm like, I've already picked out the one I want. It's called The Plunge.
I just got chills, dude.
It's like a little unit that sets out there, and it keeps the water will get down to 36 degrees.
Oh my gosh!
And it stays that way all the time.
That's needles, brother.
Yeah, I don't want to start off at 36 degrees, but I think I want to do it.
Awesome, man!
Because one, it's like, you know, I've got some. I'm 50, so it's like I did 15 miles this week. My knees hurt, my hamstrings hurt, my foot always hurts. I got the hot tub,
all that.
But it's, you know, real feel 113 hot tub doesn't sound that great. So
yeah.
Ice is getting rid of all your inflammation. So there's tons of benefits to it. I was wondering if anybody else heard about that.
Oh no, yeah, no.
That does weird
you
stuff
know
like
me.
That.
I'm looking at everything that I think can physically help something, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, man, that'd be awesome. I won't get in it. I'm just gonna tell you
that's
that
what
now.
My wife said. I told her, I was like, look at all the benefits. It tightens skin, it relieves stress, it boosts your immunity. She's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I may stick my face in it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. She just shut me down. I was like,
We go every year. We used to go to Tenkiller Lake, and we would float the lead out where they let it out of the dam.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's coming out of the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
Well, that water was 52 degrees.
52, yeah.
Sheer panic, brother, when I got
take
that water.
Take your breath out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it stings, and it's like, so I can't even imagine 36 degrees.
Yeah, you got to be tough. I'm not going to start off at 36, but
no. Well, that'd be cool to see, man, because, I've looked into it, too. There's a lot of benefits to it. A lot.
Between they're saying that and you can do that and then sauna afterwards. And it's like it even, you know, it's expansion and contraction of your blood vessels, reduces blood pressure, risk of heart attack, risk of stroke.
Sweet.
Relief stress.
Yeah, like, it's supposed to do all kinds of good stuff for you.
So I've been in that world for a little bit on my spare time.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, yeah.
So you're going to have the hot tub.
Yeah.
You're going to have the cold plunge.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the sauna.
Yeah.
I may just come over and watch you do all those things.
A sauna gets pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing gets up to, I think, 150. I know some of them get up, but it's an infrared sauna.
Yeah.
And yeah. I ripped out my whole bathtub thing. It's worthless. And so I found a sauna that fit the deal. So I replumbed it.
It's in your bathroom.
Yeah, it slid right into the hole.
I never knew where it was.
Oh, yeah. No, they had one of those like whirlpool tub things in there.
Yeah.
Garbage. Who's going to take a bath?
You don't do that.
No.
You don't like laying in your own filth?
No. What's wrong with
that?
Yeah. So I ripped up. It was kind of funny, too, because when it went down, I just went in with a sledgehammer and started beating the crap out of it. The wife comes like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm ripping out the hot tub and putting in a sauna."
I'm done.
Like, what? That's kind of how we do things around there.
But, yeah, well, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Do what you
Back to hunting stuff. Update on my power pole that they came and mulched all my switchgrass down. It's coming out.
So they are pulling it.
Pulling it out. So
awesome. That's
hopefully
good.
Within the next couple of weeks, I get with your brother, get some round bells in there.
Yep. Get that hole plugged.
Haul some sticks and brush and plug it up. And
well, are we going to cut a trail for your?
I don't know, man.
Spot?
I'm kind of
back and forth.
I was 100% on it, and then today, as I was driving around, I kind of like, man, I don't know. I kind of want them to like not just pop out there. I kind of want them to filter through the food plot. And
I get you.
So I don't know. I'm torn on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Super
torn. I thought about it too, since we talked about it.
Yeah.
And my thought was, if you did cut the trail,
yeah,
they'll come to the feed first, most likely.
Yeah.
And then filter away.
True. Yeah. No, I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely the does.
Yeah.
And that would give you an easier access out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's just something I thought about.
Yeah.
But
and I'm not going to do much of a trail, but I'm going to come off that corridor and I'm just going to make it just a dim little trail.
Sure.
So
like one they would make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably will. I mean, I was thinking, man, I don't know. I kind of want them to like pop out in the food plot. I got time to assess everything. That's kind of what it was last year. I could see them. They come from every direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was a slow move through,
yeah.
You know, coming through there. So,
well, I'm planning maybe tomorrow sometime.
Yeah.
Coming over.
Yeah. We're going to get together and do some
video
soil
work.
Samples.
Yeah. Yeah. Soil samples. And then I haven't seen your road yet.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen,
seen my new road?
The new road.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen the food plot that you made into a golf course.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
And then I would like to chew the fat over to just that trailer like you're talking about and show me kind of exactly where you're wanting to.
Well, I got that little, I bought that whole Milwaukee setup, the weed eater, the edger, and the little bitty 8-inch chainsaw. So, it's like, I'm trying to be just quiet on everything, man. I want to see how it changes. I found a squeak in the golf cart today.
Can't handle
so
squeaking.
I gotta get some rubber washers and redo my bolt section on my roof. So I got that on my to do list.
It's coming.
It's kind of squawk, squawk, squawk as I was driving today. So.
So what are we, dude? What are we, 4 or 5 weeks away?
Yeah,
from like opener.
That. Yeah, something like that.
That ain't long, brother.
No,
that ain't long at all. We gotta get off our properties. We need to quieten down. We need to.
Well, we're moving towards that. I mean, I got a couple little things I got to do. You just cut new access in.
Yep.
You can watch that on Camel Family Outdoors. Yep.
Got that done.
So
a lot of work.
You got access back to your
new stand from last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Your new little shooting blind that we built,
which is a really cool video too. That's
it's
one of our best performing videos, by the way. That,
really?
Yeah. That how to. Yeah.
Oh, how to build.
Yeah.
On
that deer stand. So
nice.
Yeah. That's a cool one to check out. But yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
it looked good. I watched the video.
But, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But. Dude, it's almost completely silence. And that's what we shoot for.
Yeah. Well, I told you the same thing I did. I cut that one from my place all the way to the high line so I could access that one stand I have for a south wind on the big plot. And it worked. I hunted it several times last year, and the does just
piled through there.
I mean, 12-yard shot if you want to. All it takes is for the right deer to come through there.
Sure,
I took that thing down the dirt, and it was right after having my plantar fasciitis surgery on my foot.
I remember that.
I wasn't supposed to be out there. I had blood coming out of my foot and blood coming out of my arms and ripping down briars and everything else. And it's like, but took it down to the dirt, and
it worked.
I made mine fairly wide.
Yeah, you did.
For one, I thought it may actually deter deer from using it if it's like a little more too open. I don't know, but I'll take my tractor and the rock rake and I'll like rake it. I'll just like rake all the leaves out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, the first time I mowed it and raked it and leaf blowed it and did all that stuff. But now I just take the tractor and I'll make a run around before season starts and I'll rake out all my trails. And
so you get in there quietly.
Some of them I've got to do with a leaf blower because they're tighter. Like the one going behind the deer mansion, it's a little bit too
small. Yeah, like the one I built too. It's pretty tight in there.
Take a leaf blower in there and knock them out.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Today's episode, here we are, yeah. 16 minutes in.
Yeah.
Top 5 or top 10, I guess, since we each have our own.
Right.
Ways to kill a buck, a big buck, or your target buck, or whatever you want to shoot.
Yeah. We can't really call them tips because we're not pro.
Yeah, we're not tips. These are our opinions.
Yeah, this is what we think.
We are heavily opinionated.
We both have some... experience in the matter because I'm 20 years in, you're 15 plus years in.
Yeah.
This is what either didn't work for us or worked for us that we learned from. And so,
well, hey man, if you got busted as many times as I've been busted, you learn stuff.
You get good at that, right?
And we have not collaborated on these. So I'm kind of interested to see.
Yep.
We're going to start at number one.
Okay.
And we're going to go down to number 5 and let's see how we differ. Differ on them.
All right. So here we go. Let's dive right in. Yeah. My number one for me is food. Okay. Mm-hmm. And food can be any kind of food. I don't care what your food is. I don't care if it's, you know, feeding, if you're allowed to do that in your state. I don't care if it's a food plot. I don't care if it's an acorn flat. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Food. And if you can, like on my piece of property in the beginning, I was a hunter. I'd been a hunter for years. What changed everything for me the most was food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so for me, once I established food, of course, there's tons of things that go with that, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
That we'll get into those in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Deer numbers doubled, tripled, whatever.
Yeah.
On my place.
Well, you're not hunting woods now. You're hunting woods going to something. So
and my food early on was a food plot. Yeah. And that's, you know.
That's huge.
And it's huge because you know as well as I do, most people are not going to put in the work or the effort or the time to make their own.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you a leg up if you're a food plot guy, and I am.
Oh, yeah.
And you are.
Yeah.
So my number one's food, man. I got to hear yours. What are you thinking?
Well, only because of my old food plot and everything else. And, you know, for me, even if you have food, so my number one is access.
Okay.
And along with access, I got like probably a 2 or 3 tiered approach is screening.
Okay.
Another video came up on me outdoors. We can plug that in there. Screen everything.
Screen everything. Good video. Yep.
We've done it all. We've done switchgrass. We've done sorghum. We've done Egyptian wheat.
Yep.
They're all pretty decent.
Yep.
If you got the right, I mean, I'm playing the patient game right now, and I've switchgrass everything. So I'm waiting till year 4 to get there.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, screen everything. On public land or a lease, I mean, I've got a lease on the other side of the mountain. There's no way you can't access anything. So, one thing I can do is use the ravines, the hills, and the wind.
Topography, yep.
Mm-hmm. In my favor to access something like that. So, that applies to public land or lease land or, you know, if you're hunting your uncle's land, you can't screen it or he's running cows on it or whatever. You know, just use the topography to kind of get to where you're going quietly. Oh, that was my another big thing on access. You have the right point of access. You're coming in with the right wind. You're screened. You're using the hill. Now you got to enter quietly. I'm big. You mentioned it on your video. Trim everything so it don't even rub your clothes. I'm telling you, I don't care how much spray you put on. If you touch it, the deer can smell it.
Exactly.
I use spray, but I've seen it too many times. You spray down, spray your boots down, walk in. Happened to him in Missouri. Deer blew at where I walked in at. Wasn't a good deer, luckily. But enter quietly, as scent free as you can. Oh, Missouri. I was my mind went to a weird story about Missouri, and I was telling Joe, he can witness this, a true story. We targeted some of the smaller public land deals in Missouri thing, and people wouldn't go to them.
Right,
We rolled up to one day. It's dark outside. I don't know what time is it, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever time. I couldn't tell you, but early in the morning, dude rolls up in like 78 Camaro brown.
Right.
Pops open the door, cigarette in his mouth.
Sure.
talking very loudly. Which way are y'all going? And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, he had definitely got warrants. Like, what are you up to, man? Like, why does he want to know? Yeah, what are you? And so when I left that spot, I was telling Joe, I was like, that would be, if we could have filmed that, that would be, it would be comical. Like, this is how you don't hunt.
Yeah, don't do this.
Well, we ended up finding his ladder stand later that day. And I'm not joking. The ladder, the bottom where he sat was probably 7 feet off the ground. And he had a pull rope to pull his boat up with.
Well, you know, never know. It's a long ways up, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's probably in jail now.
Yeah,
but he was talking loud and coughing and smoking cigarettes. And, like, he wanted to know which way we were going. So I was like, no, which way are you going?
Yeah, we're going away from you, brother. Yeah.
That's the thing. Which way are you going?
Funny. That's funny.
Yeah, sketchy looking fella. So I'm pretty sure he's probably incarcerated.
So your number one is access.
That's my number one, man. That's the way I kind of categorize it, because for me, food, I totally get it. Like, I can't disagree with you on that.
Right.
But even with food, if you don't have access, you're screwed.
I understand.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because my number two is access.
Okay.
Okay. And the only reason that food was number one is because I'm looking at it through the lens of someone that is starting out. So, you know, I'm kind of skewed in that I've been established for 20 years. So,
well, it's kind of like I said too. Food makes a, let's say you got a 10 acre piece of property,
right?
And you hang a stand and it's a northwest wind and you're looking over nothing.
Exactly.
You put food on the place, it changes it. Now you got deer trails. Sure. You can hunt to the food. You can hunt the food. So, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah. So, food was my number one.
Yeah.
Access is my number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Access for me changed everything once I had food. Okay. Yeah. So, and it took me a while to learn this, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't learn this overnight. I was busting deer out, kind of like what you talk about. Yeah. Early on,
that's,
man,
how the 40 acre project came about.
I got tired of it. Yeah. And, you know, early on, you know, it was, I was attracting deer.
Yeah.
And deer were coming. And I would either bust them going in, I would bust them trying to get out. And this happened a lot. And what would happen to me is, the latter part of the season would be terrible because I had busted every deer off my place.
Yeah.
So I am with you on the access. It is an absolute must for any situation hunting a deer that is repeatedly coming to one spot or an area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That could be a saddle, a draw, an acorn flat.
Public land, private land. I don't care.
Yeah.
I've got a quick story. I mean, one of the biggest bucks I've ever killed on private land,
public land,
was down where we've hunted for 40 years. Well, the difference was I went into a spot deep and the access was spot on.
Really?
Yes.
That's tough to find.
It is tough to find. Yeah. And the reason it was spot on is because wind direction that day.
Yeah.
You know, that always plays into my mind.
Sure, yeah.
And then popping up over a ridge and never exposing myself to where I'm hunting.
Yeah.
And it just worked out that way.
Oh, yeah.
So access, I'm with you. We've both talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I loved seeing your access get good on your place.
Yeah. It's a lot of drawing, a lot of thinking, a lot of talking.
And crawling if need be.
I've been there.
So I'm with you. So my number two was access. So I'm not much different than you. So what's your number two?
Number two, only go in, number one, the wind is right, cold front's right,
okay,
or if you have that buck pattern and you know, man, he's been coming in every evening for two evenings or whatever. So,
right.
You know, since we did the 40-acre project, I hunt way less now than I ever did. I was like, if I had 30 minutes or an hour, not 30 minutes, but if I had 2 hours before dark and I would come home and put my clothes in the ozone closet and like I'm going hunting. And I had, you know, I moved around. I didn't like just wear out in one area.
Sure.
But, now I hunt way less and see way more deer.
Okay.
Because.
So the old adage, if you can't kill deer if you're laying on a couch or whatever.
Well, I mean, that's the other side of it. I mean, if you can only hunt weekends, then go hunt.
Yeah.
Or if you're a gun only guy.
So situational.
And then you hunt the rut, go hunt, you know, or. You know, it's kind of like if there's a tradition, you know what I mean? Your all's muzzleloader camp I got into last year, thoroughly enjoyed it. it don't have to be perfect conditions. Go hunt, have fun, take the kids, that stuff. So this ain't about that. I'm saying
this is what your tip would be.
If you got a target buck or you want to kill a big buck, wait for those cold fronts. I mean, we've had discussions about the east wind thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big east wind guy, but I know people talk about sometimes they move. Sure. My place isn't set up for east because of where my bedding is. Like, I can't really pull off an east. Like, it just doesn't work for me. But
I got you. Yep.
But yeah, no, that's not. I'm saying, you know, if you got a weekend to take your kid hunting or whatever, go. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that at all. Enjoy the woods.
No, I'm with you.
If you have a tradition like you guys have up there hunting,
and we're going.
Weather sucks. It was hot last year. Mm-hmm. You know, wind was swirly. It was hot, but we had a good time.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah,
it was a
blast. So, and I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if you've got a target buck or what, man, wait for those cold fronts. Wait for the temperature drop. You know what I mean? Cold front, temperature drop. Yep. When I killed mine last year, it was like, you know, wind chill negative 12 or something crazy like that. And but the wind had died that. So the day before that, it was the same, but the wind died 18 mile an hour the night I killed mine.
Yes.
So it's like looking for those little changes like that, and you can get into a whole other discussion.
All kinds of rabbit holes.
Moons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
So you're waiting for right conditions then?
Wait for the right conditions, yeah. Don't go out there and just because you can.
I can do that.
Unless that's the only time you got.
So yeah.
That's
yeah.
my number two, because right. I used to overhunt.
Yeah. Yeah, you used to just hit the woods when you felt like hitting the woods.
If I had 30 or an hour to go, I was going. So
all right. Well, I got you number two, and I'm with you on that too. I'm in agreement there. So my number three would be stand placement.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Okay. So we got our food.
Yeah.
We got our access to hunt the food.
Yeah.
Now you need to put that stand in a position. And it's just what you just said.
Yeah.
Where cold fronts are coming.
Yeah.
Conditions are right. You set your stand up.
Yeah.
In a place where, you know, just for an example, the one I've got out here that me and Lex hunt in so much, it is a north wind setup.
That's kind of what you want.
Yep. And you can have a little bit other winds in there, especially the way we made our stands. Yeah. But so for me, my number three is the deal is they're kind of interchangeable because they're also important.
Yeah.
But, oh, I know. Yeah. But stand placement, if you pick the right place, you've already got your food there. You've already got your access to the food.
Yeah.
You put that stand where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Man, you just checked off three major things on tricking a whitetail in my mind.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that is because I'm a 20-year food plot guy.
Yeah.
And you play the game.
Yeah.
And you figure out, okay, dude, I had this awesome food plot. This is years ago. I had this awesome food plot. It was down in a draw. Well, there's a red flag right there.
Yeah.
You know, didn't think about that. I put it down in a draw. Had this one single access spot I could hunt. Wind was always wrong. Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Swirling
around there. Yeah.
So, shot myself in the foot. Yeah. Took me a season to figure that out. So, it's like, for me, once you establish your food, once you get access to that food, then you figure out where you want to put your stand so that when that big cold front comes in, you know, you're set up and I'm with you in that you don't go in there until it's time.
Yeah.
Gotta be right. Yeah. It's gotta be right on. So there's my number three, man. That's where I'm at.
That's a good one. I don't even have that on my list, but very important. And you know how much time I spent
me and you both
figuring out where I wanted to put all my hang on. So that's very important. I skipped right over that one for whatever reason. Number three for me, pressure.
Okay.
And it kind of goes back to only hunting when it's right. Dude, if you go in there and you pressure a deer that you want to kill, a mature buck, and, you know, they ain't having none of it, man.
Yep, I'm with you.
They'll be gone. I tell the story all the time, and this was just one of my deals. I put one of my cameras on video on a good buck. I ended up arrowing it later, and long story, I didn't kill it. My bow was off from my Missouri trip, but he was working a scrape, and I said, I'm going to put this thing on video and get good. But it wasn't a blackout camera. It was one of the red light deals, and I didn't see that deer for 2 weeks. That's just a camera hanging 6 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you said it, you know, one limb crack can break and can ruin a deer hunt.
Yes.
So it's like noise, scent. Talking about cutting the trees and all that stuff. Only hunting when you need to. They kind of correlate a little bit. I've made some changes on my play. So when supplemental feeding starts, instead of using a side-by-side this year, I've got the golf cart, so I'm quiet.
Right.
My trimming stuff, I've got the battery-powered saw, so stay quiet.
Right.
We quit walking the trails. I do bike it a little bit. Checking your cards, supplemental feeding, if at all possible. Man, midday is my deal. If I can get in about 12 or 1 o'clock and feed and change my cards and all that stuff, I feel like everything should be somewhere laying down, not where I'm going to intrude on them.
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes I'll get out of the stand. I'm already sprayed down, scent free. It's 11 o'clock, hadn't seen a lot. And then I'll make a round walking very quietly, scent free, and I'll pull cards and check that way. Don't go just because you got a Saturday off. Don't like,
joyride.
I'm going to go up at 7 o'clock and this morning I'm going to tromp through the woods and check 9 cameras and pull my cards. And because you ain't going to see jack squat, I can tell you.
Exactly. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So that's my number three.
Well,
pressure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my number four, drum roll, is intrusion.
Okay, yeah. Kind of same thing.
Yeah. Pressure. I mean, so,
and you can't always control that, on a side note. I mean, if you're hunting leased land or public land.
It's just going, it is what it is.
And but sometimes private land.
And sometimes, yeah. But I'm with you. If you intrude on a property that you've established food with really good access and awesome stand placement, you just killed the three things you did to get the deer there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I am with you 100%. Do not intrude on the property you are hunting, especially if you're hunting a mature deer.
Yeah.
Does will put up with it. Some young bucks will put up with it.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
We're both hunting mature deer. Game, you know, and I've got stories after stories.
You know,
I've got, you know, the property I hunt over my grandpa's place. You know, I took my wife in there. She killed a really nice buck. And it was simply because I would not go in there.
Yeah.
I knew he was there.
Oh, yeah.
We waited for the right circumstances.
That's the one you killed off the ground?
Yes.
Yes.
That was cool. It's a cool deal. So, yes, intrusion is my number four. And it's a, you know, again, that ranks way up there with me.
Yeah.
I had to learn that the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
I was that guy that would be like, all right, I'm going in here and I'm gonna walk around and see where the rubs and scrapes are.
I've blown deer out because I had to go check my back in the old
cameras.
Days. I'd go cameras. Check my cameras and blown deer off of trails, off of ridges, and everything else because I had cameras there. It's like I'm going in.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yep.
Intrusion, pressure, kind of all the same.
It is. Yeah, it just plays right off yours. And I was smiling when you said pressure because I was like, yeah,
we're kind of on the same
face.
Yeah.
So that's my number four. That's what I had. So what you got?
Number four, know the area. Be a woodsman.
Gotcha.
Know where's this, you know, on your own place, it's easy to do. You know where the food's at. You know where you can kind of, well, I say, you know, I didn't really know where a lot of my deer were coming from and coming to until after the season.
Right.
And I started going around and finding, dang it. But it was a brand new property.
Yeah.
But it may change this year. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you can know the trails, the corridors, where the food's at, it's going to be huge. If you can plant food plots, obviously, like you're number one. If you can plant food plots, a lot of this stuff takes care of itself.
Right.
You don't have to really. You'll know how your land hunts. You know, we talk about
that's been my case.
You talk about you talk about my deal. Year one, totally different than the way I thought I would hunt.
Sure.
Had success, but
it went down totally different than what
not the way I thought it was going to go down. So, my number four is, man, know where the food's at. That means I'm talking about if the deer are eating honeysuckle or white oaks or, you know, acorns, whatever you got, know where the food's at, know how they're getting there. If you can, and this is something I struggle with, is know where they're bedding. I'm pretty fortunate with the way mine lays out. I know where they're bedding.
Yeah.
And we've made some bedding areas.
Yes.
But learn your property. Now, don't do it right now.
Yeah. No, it's too late.
Yeah. Do it, you know, January, February, whatever. You can figure it out then.
Yep.
So that's my number four is be a woodsman, know the land, know the lay of the land, know how the deer use the land. Shed hunting helps that. Rubs, scrapes, trails, I mean, all that stuff.
Yep.
To me, it's like.
That's good.
You can put your stands where they need to be if you have this information.
That makes sense. Makes total sense. So your number four is that then.
Yep. Know the area.
All right. So my last one would be, and it was tough for me to pick just five, but my last one is cover. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here's why it's important to me. If you've got the food, if you have the access, if you have the stand placement, and you have not intruded, if you have cover close, dude, you're in the chips, brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
if access you're, if you and have, cover, you're bulletproof pretty much.
Yeah, if you have deer there, if you have deer coming to your food source, and you've taken care of these five things, and you've got some cover established, and I don't care what kind of cover it is.
Yeah.
I've kind of learned that. Me and you did some pocket cutting on our places.
Yeah.
Dude, I felt like 100% I had deer come from cover pockets that we cut in there.
Yeah.
Switchgrass gets up. You know, I cleared for where I thought I was going to put my pond. I mean, letting that go.
Yeah.
It's growing up into a regeneration thicket. That's going to hold some deer.
You'll have some does right there. Yeah. No question.
No question about it. So, my number five is cover. And the thing is, you can use that on public land just like on private. If you can find out.
Yeah, for sure.
If you can figure out where the cover is.
Yeah.
Don't intrude.
Yeah.
Figure your stand placement out. Get some food. Obviously, on public, you can't do that, but private, you can. Dude, to me, that's going to give you the best chance to be successful on whatever your goal is. I don't care if it's your first deer.
Yeah.
You know, those things, if you'll do them, in my opinion, just my opinion, you're going to have a lot better chance to have success.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
So that's my number five. It's cover. And again, it's like everything else I've talked about. It's all been a slow, progressive learning process for me.
Oh, for sure,
You know, for years, I had the food plot, and I didn't have cover, and you just don't hold as many deer close, you know what I mean? And it's just tougher. So, anyway, there's my number five. What is your number five?
I want to touch on your number five, a couple notes.
Okay.
You're talking about making those clear cuts. Remind me tomorrow we're out there.
We need to go look.
I got to show you
awesome.
The one on my south end. It's crazy.
It blowed up.
The other note is, you mentioned you can't feed on public land. During muzzleloader season out in Scott County, I saw lots of spots there feeding. Well,
I say you're not legally supposed to feed on public land. There are guys
there that
do.
There's some outlaws in that county, brother.
So. Yeah, that's a whole other story right there, brother.
Okay, so my number five is kind of kooky, but is something that I kind of get from my wife a little bit. She tells me this all the time. My number five is be unreasonable.
Yeah.
So the saying goes, I've hung on to this like since high school days, it's something like a reasonable man never accomplishes anything, right? You got to take the risk. And I'm kind of that guy. I'm going to take the risk, 40-acre project, open up a business,
whatever it is.
I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to obsess about it. And so, for me, it's like, be unreasonable. Think about it all the time. Obsess about it. Figure out how you want to access it. All these 10 things we've covered, I'm always thinking about.
Sure.
Not always, but I mean, the majority of time.
You kind of got to get in that
mentality to obsess over it a little bit. I'm not saying take away time from your family, and we do some. I mean, that's, our wives we're blessed with that.
For sure.
But be unreasonable. A reasonable man never accomplishes anything. So think about it, obsess about it. How am I going to better my property? How am I going to better my access? How am I going to hang my stand? Where am I going to plant my food?
Yes.
Where is the food on public land? You know, it's like, you hear a lot of guys, and it's getting close to time of season because we had a little get together at the house on Saturday, and my phone rang four times from friends of mine, like, what'd you say you planted? How do you got your four different people?
Right.
My radio was, my speaker outside by the pool was running. So every time my phone rang, the music would shut off. So I would answer, and it's deer questions. So a lot of these guys, I say, man, I really want to kill a good buck this year. Well, you learned this about me during turkey season. I don't feel like, not that I want to kill a big buck this year. I feel like I have to. There's a fire inside of me that wants to kill that target buck, and I'm not going to stop until the day the season is over to get to that point.
Right.
Same thing with turkey. We were unsuccessful in Arkansas. I think it's unsuccessful in Missouri. I'm going back.
And I
finally got it done. But it's done. I got to put that flame out, man, or I go crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's good, man. That's good. Yeah.
So it's like, for me, if you really, really want to get serious about this,
be unreasonable.
Be unreasonable.
Be driven.
Yeah, exactly.
Be driven.
So it's like we talked about before, right? It's like people talk about, well, yeah, you killed that on private land. That's easy, bro. And it, I agree to some point. If you go out and kill a 170 on public land and it wasn't a lucky thing, like you've been out there week after week after week and running cameras scouting it, no different.
Yep.
Only we're running equipment, buying fruit trees, drilling holes in the ground, picking up rocks. We're doing all these things. So it's like they're wild animals, you know what I mean?
But yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
So we talked about it when I killed that deer last year, right? Hard work eventually is going to be rewarded with a payoff, no matter what you are. If you're in business or you're trying to work your way up in a corporate setting or a blue collar setting or fishing or hunting or whatever, hard work pays off and you're going to be rewarded for that. So,
agreed. I'm with you on that.
Number five for me is pretty vague. But that's my gist of it. It's like,
vague, but it's not vague.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You kind of, you gotta have some passion. You gotta have some drive.
Yeah.
You gotta put in the work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
I agree with that.
And if you're the guy that like gun season opener and you go out to your private land and sit down and kill a 150 more, I mean, God bless you. That's awesome.
Hats off to you, brother. Yeah, that's awesome.
That will never happen to me.
Yeah. It's
so,
that's just never went down, but for me, but
so, yeah.
So there's our 5, 10, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. There's at least seven in there. I think we crossed over on a couple of them.
Yeah, we did. And I knew
these are our opinions.
Yep. Just our opinions.
We're not professional hunters. We mess up and we don't kill giants every year. We try, but
we get our pride killed pretty often,
man. That's the other part of it too. That could be like number six,
right?
Pass the deer that's not gonna make you happy.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole nother rabbit hole,
whole nother discussion.
But I'm with you on that. It's like, you know that's the same thing that I get is, man, well, I want to kill a good buck. Well, when that 110 walks out, don't shoot him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's number one.
Kill him 3 years from now.
Let him go. and you know, most guys are like, well, I can't let a buck like that walk. That's fine.
No, I don't have a problem with
it. If it puts a grin on your face, brother, get after it. I'm not a shamer, never have been.
No, all these social media people disgracing people for killing stuff, I will never be that guy.
No.
Like if it makes your heart pump.
You betcha.
Because, I mean, we were having this discussion at work the other day, and it's a guy that works for me. He's kind of newish to hunting. And, you know, Luke asked me this question last year in the stands. Like, how do you know? It's like,
I remember.
You just know, man. It's like when the buck comes out, it's like, oh, you just get ready. And then other times you walk out, it's like, man, that's a cool deer. You don't get excited. But if a 110 is what gets you excited and you're after that, you know, that adrenaline rush, and that's go for it. Like, you're never going to see me or hear me speak poorly of somebody or needs another year or whatever they do on social media. But
I don't know about you, but see, I started, my first deer was a fork of horn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, my next deer was a little bit bigger, and then my next deer was a little bit bigger. And then I got to the point where I wanted the most mature deer I could find. Yeah. That's where you evolve to, right? After hunting many, many years. And not only that they're bigger racked, bigger bodied, but they're harder.
Yeah.
They're just harder to consistently kill a big buck. And that's my drive, dude. Because it's like, I want to do everything I can do to help my kids, my situation, your situation, kill that biggest buck on the place.
That's
the oldest, wisest man. You know what I'm saying?
And like, and that's, you know, the biggest buck on the place may be a 110.
That's what, I mean,
it's all relative
to
what you got. If you don't have food plots,
it could be a 3-year-old. I mean, it really could.
You've got a trail running through your property and you have nothing there, no food, no access, no nothing, but you can sneak in and you got this 110 on camera and that's the biggest one you got on camera.
Get it.
I'd be the same way. Cause I might run into that this year. I don't know how my property's going to hunt. I may have a, you know, 13 dinks, and I'm probably going to pick out the best one and stick an arrow in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
So
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, we had kind of, it was funny. I just shot him a text and said, hey, what about five things?
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah. And then he kind of wrote down his, I kind of wrote down mine.
We can knock
and,
that out.
Yeah. That's not a problem at all. So, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of informative for me. I never even thought about some of the stuff you raised. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like it's kind of the order I was. That's like we didn't collaborate on, which made it kind of fun for us too. Yeah. Like, let me see what he's thinking. I'm not going to tell him what I'm thinking yet until we get into the discussion. But
well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun, man. Yeah. As always, guys, you can hear us on where are we at? Spotify, Apple Podcast,
and several others.
There's a couple other ones, but this will be on there. So.
Look us up.
Yeah, look us up. And thanks for listening.